At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Guys, right,
broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica, from a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
In the reggae anthem Get Up Stand Up, the Wailers sing, "Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told." My friend Brian always dreamed he could make the world a better place. Maybe by me telling his story, he still can.
Consequence Podcast Network presents Rootsland Season 1, Reggae Junkie Joe.
Whole barrage of righteous people out there.
Because sometimes the story is the best song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, thanks so much for making your way here, checking out this series. Hopefully you like what you hear enough to hit the subscribe button. Would love you to keep up with everything that we're doing here. New interviews three times a week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, maybe discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world. You can find us at all the usual spots, you know, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions of this one as well, or anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. Just type in Kyle Meredith with and subscribe. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Rick Nielsen of the band Cheap Trick. It's always a lot of fun to catch up with Rick, especially because, well, he plays guitar all the way through this, so you kind of get a little bonus concert, one-on-one concert with Rick. And we're going to be talking about their record, In Another World. It's an album that finds this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band in peak form. It's one of my favorite Cheap Trick records, just automatically, right off the bat. And we're going to be discussing some of, the Easter eggs and hints to the past within the songs in this new set. writing about the passage of time. Also, the guest, he's got, they've got Sex Pistols' Steve Jones, the guitarist, on here as well. We're going to be talking about also the whole album ends with a cover of John Lennon's Gimme Some Truth, so that's in there. And then before the record came out, they'd actually covered Rebel Rebel, David Bowie. So I want to hear about the friendship that they had with Bowie, some of the stories. He'll also tell us the time that he was hanging out with Jennifer Lopez. That's a fun thing. And then, let's see, they're going to preview the upcoming tour in Australia. They've got that on the way. And we're going to get into his business ventures. Did you know that he helped start Reverb? He's also got some restaurants and a new vodka line. So let's get into this. Talking about this record in another world, it's Kyle Meredith with Cheap Trick.
Well, good, good, good. How do you remember all that stuff?
Well, all the stuff that I just said,
intro is like, hope you don't ask me to repeat it.
No, that part's easy because all I got to really remember, honestly, is to say how amazing and awesome Cheap Trick are. And that's the due diligence right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a given. That's a given. that's the part I wrote for you.
Appreciate it. Making it easy for me. Rick, it is so good to talk to you again. Congratulations on this new record because... it's like whatever you all have started drinking in the past few years to be on the run that you're on. I mean, keep drinking it because this record is so good. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a Cheap Trick record. Yeah, is it great? No, but is it good? We should just keep drinking. I'll leave it there.
I gotta ask. You know, right at the beginning of this record, you start out with some two really great. They've kind of got this bouncy, it's a happy vibe to the songs. Were you looking for a vibe on this record? I mean, there's a lot of different sounds. This is just how it starts, but it kind of
It was dictated by the songs. You know, it's like we had Here Comes the Summer, The Summer Looks Good on You. It came out 2 years ago, a year and a half ago or whatever, but it was never on an album. And that was kind of a fun one. It actually did fairly well a lot of places, but it wasn't on a record. So, hey, let's put it back on, or let's put it on here. And it just went from there. And we did all the, we recorded all the other stuff around the same time, at least it started it. And then we added Give Me Some Truth at the end, because we had done actually four or five other songs too that are not on here. We did the David Bowie, Rebel Rebel. We did that with Jack Douglas, that came out. We did She Said, there you go, the Beatles song. We did that for Howard Stern. And then we did a Harry Nilsson song, Ambush, that we did for a compilation, whatever it was. And, you know, so we just keep recording. It's like, and but it was nice we got it. So now we have a new record coming out. And we started it out on Big Machine recording there, and we ended up with BMG. So before the record comes out, it'll be on BMG.
Who knows where you'll be. You brought up the Summer Looks Good on You. Is that so? When I had it in my headphones, better headphones than I'm wearing with these earbuds right now. I try to give it good sound quality. Is there a little Easter egg in there? Do I hear a little bit of Dream Police happening on the strings in that song?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah, that's it, Kyle. Yeah, sure. Thanks for reminding me of the part that you helped us write for that. Well, you know, there was some different stuff in there. It's like, I can't remember how it goes now, but it's like, yeah, that part, thanks for writing it for us.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. I wondered that, though, you know, because when you got a catalog that's so iconic as Cheap Trick, I mean, you have opportunities if you want to take them to kind of drop some, as we said, kind of Easter eggs, you know, hints to the past. Is that something that you think about? Do you think, oh, we should put a little bit of that in there and see if they catch it?
Only if it comes up while we're doing it. It's like, oh, man, that'd be cool to have this voice on here, or here's the part that we left off years ago on this one thing. We should, you know, why didn't we do that? Okay, well, we can't go back and do that. Let's toss this in here. There's a couple of those things in there. I mean, we did like that Easter egg kind of stuff on albums and stuff years ago. I mean, when we did things, Heaven Tonight or Dream Police, it's like, I've got a postcard from In Color in my pocket and a toothbrush checkerboard toothbrush, brushing my, you know, I, you know, all these things that had that meant nothing, but to me they meant a lot.
Yeah. Well, as a fan, it's always so fun kind of hearing that stuff, and I mean, it did it for me, you know. As I'm listening to it, it's like, oh there it is. But as I said,
well, yeah, there's one song on there that I wasn't there when they did the part. It's like, it was from Taking Me Back. Now, I think Tom or Robin put it in one of our songs. I couldn't get over it. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Like, it wasn't a hit before, so now it maybe won't be a hit again.
I don't know, man. There's so much stuff happening on here, as I mentioned. I don't know if I'm supposed to be hunting for threads in the lyrics and themes like that, but then I look further down and you take a song like So It Goes, the aforementioned Summer, even Final Days, and I started thinking, oh, it seems like there's a bit of time passage thing happening here. Spring is brought up in So It Goes, I should mention in there. Is that something that you all were conscious of as you were putting the record together? Is it fair to say that that finds its way in on this record?
Well, I think, you know, it's like, it was kind of a weird time these last few years. And so, like, you don't want to be right on the money there, but it's like a subtle, we're in a rock band, and nothing's too subtle anyhow. So it's like, but, you know, you don't want to go out and say, hey, this guy is this, and this reminds me of that. It's like, I always liked, when I'd write songs, I always try to have double and triple entendre. It's like, so it's like somebody would come up, oh, this song meant that to me. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like Kyle, like how you write songs for us. You know, it's like, you know, what it means to you is more important than what it means to me, at least after you tell me. And sometimes it's oh yeah, that's what that meant. You know, it's cool to have multiple meanings on songs, you know, so you're not just, that's what it is. I don't know. It's like, it's cool to have different meanings for different people.
Yeah, but it does seem a little bit, it does seem really poignant. You know, I brought up Final Days, and you had talked about, you know, closing out the record with Give Me Some Truth. Those two songs really do seem to work together.
Yeah, well, Final Days, it's kind of like Cheap Trick does a blues riff, but not a blues song. You know, it's like, you know, as I'm just thinking how I play it, it's like I try to play it like, yeah, if I tried to play it like a legit blues song, you know, it's like, you know, I'm a songwriter more than I am a guitar player. So it's like, if I want to, you know, I should have called Joe Bonamassa. Hey, Joe, come on, we need you on here. But so I just do what I can do. And if I screw it up, it's my screw up.
You did invite Steve Jones, though, not Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah, we
did. Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols. He made his way on to Give Me Some Truth. Why and how?
Well, we did. We were out doing Jonesy's Jukebox, and he had guitar there. And I actually brought this. This is a Dwight Cornette, 1962. I'd gotten it, and he said, "Oh God, I'd like to get one of those." I think he was, you know, hinting that I should give it to him, which I unhinted it. And so I looked for a guitar for him, and then we said, you know, I think we played something live on the air, and said, so, you know, I hadn't, you know, you hear him talk on the radio show, and it's like, he really knew his stuff, and I liked her, you know, his basic playing, too. You know, he had a cool rhythm guitar player. I'm a rhythm guitar player that plays leads occasionally and stuff like that, and it's like, he fit right in. He said, I think it was Rob and myself were sitting there. It's like, hey, Steve, you want to play this record? Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, you know. And then we couldn't get rid of the guy. But
next member of Cheap Trick.
By
attrition. Where's you down? I do want to ask one more, I guess, about sort of that, what's going on in those songs right there with Give Me Some Truth, with Final Days. Does that relate to what you all are calling the record, In Another World?
Well, that was, you know, I think that was a title that Tom had. At least I think, you know, because the fact that we're not all together all the time. I mean, we've had, you know, 20 different titles for the record. And it's like, oh, that's what it's called. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought it was called this. You know, it's like, it's what words fit together correctly. I mean, Dream Police was one that wasn't a concept of the whole album, but the title was visually strong enough so that it just happened to work out. And it happened that we had a song called Dream Police. But, you know, like we didn't have any song called In Color, you know. Mm-hmm.
But it does tend to represent the time that we're in. I mean, I appreciated that out of it.
Well, yeah, it's like, how can you be subtle when you're Cheap Trick? Hit you over the head with a hammer. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I did better to let the audience guess, you know, like putting that subtle hint behind your left shoulder. Cheap Trick. Oh yeah. Hey, thank you. I thought the payola was dead.
We need a little close up of that just to
Oh, really?
There we go. Right there. Nice little silhouette.
That's me.
Yeah, there you go.
That was Milwaukee. That was Milwaukee, 1977.
I've always loved this has got the If You Want My Love, the alternate version of that. I love that version on here. That's one of my favorites right there.
If you want Yeah, that was there was a different bridge in that. And that was actually number one in Australia. Mm. And thank you, Australia and America. Come on, get with it.
Well, hit on Australia, because you guys are going to do some touring down there. I think that's the first tour dates, right? What is this? The Under the Southern Stars tour down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, so pretty cool. I keep getting texts from Dean DeLeo and Robert DeLeo from Stone Temple Pilots. Rick, are we doing this? I'm not your manager. And you go ask him. But, you know, they don't trust their manager. So it's like, they call me. And it's like, and I just fool them. I have no idea.
It's cool, though. I mean, that's going to be the first shows back, you know, after all of this for you.
Yeah,
and Australia's
a bit
ahead of everybody else with the concert line. So.
Yeah, and they were ahead of, who isn't ahead of America, of the working on the pandemic and stuff. Mm. We have to quarantine. We fly there, you know, takes 18 hours or whatever to get there. Then we get there, we go right to a hotel and we can't leave our rooms for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. I better be a nice room, damn it.
What's the show's gonna look like? I mean, how much are you basing the new record in there? Are you doing anything special this time around, different?
Well, what do you think?
I'm planning it. I've got my dream set list going on.
That'd be good. You know, it's like we have a hard time deciding, you know, that besides the obvious songs at each set, we change our set every night. And we don't do it until about 40 minutes before the show. And so we scramble to, you know, see what we don't remember. Our mistakes are real. Thank you.
The title of the
interview. Right? I meant to do that.
Our mistakes are real. I do hope to hear some of these covers, you know, over my shoulder, as we were saying here, but over this shoulder, you know, we've got Mr. David Bowie back here, a couple
all
of things,
right.
And of course, Ziggy up here too. And you said you'd covered Rebel Rebel, one of the greatest rock songs of all time. What inspired you guys to do that? And what was your relationship with Bowie? Did you guys have one?
Actually, Tom and I both lived in Philadelphia, and we recorded at Sigma Sound, where Bowie did Young Americans album. And we were also friends with, you know, somebody that worked for us was a friend of Dave. You know, it's like, you know, not close, but we knew each other. So, and it's like, you know, it's like you'd always hope somebody else was around you so you can say, see, I know a guy. You know, we were always, you know, this before, usually it was before, you know, like having a camera with your in an iPhone. It's like, you know, you had to carry around a real camera, or somebody did it. And so nobody took our picture together, but there is a cool picture. It's Iggy Stooge, Iggy and David Bowie, and they're laughing together. They're in Germany. And behind them, sort of like how you set up that Cheap Trick album, behind them is a poster of, and it's Tom and I, and we're like playing like a Budokan or someplace, and it's right behind their back. It's like, see, they meant to do that. You know? but we knew each other, you know. It's like, and David Bowie does David Bowie, and he does it better than anybody. You know, the fact that we, you know, we played it in the clubs like in the early 70s. Did I do the riff right?
I would think so.
Probably not. That's a hard one to do. See, I fucked it up, man.
I hadn't realized until, you know, I was kind of listening to it and thinking about this interview that I hadn't realized that wasn't Ronson doing that, that was Bowie doing the lead on that song for one of the first times.
Well, I liked Ronson anyhow.
Sure. One of the
actually, he liked Cheap Trick. He came when we did the Reading Festival in 1979. And Mick Ronson came up and played with us. Mick Rouse and Dave Edmonds, they were on the side and they liked Cheap Trick. The English liked us. The Americans didn't like us, but the English did.
Never understood that. You're one of the greatest bands. You're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at least, so it's doesn't matter now.
Well, I think we're a lot of people's fifth favorite band. And it's like, that's fine with me. You know, it's like, you know, I was speaking with Joe Perry yesterday. He's like, he loves us, but he's so cool he can't tell anybody that. But he told me.
Now everybody knows right here. Everybody knows. That's you know, I want to, you know, kind of your musical references too, because we've mentioned so many. Do you all use at this point, I mean, because it seems like the way you all do it is so easy, the way you kind of talk about how these songs just happen, but do you still find yourself using musical references when you're writing these songs together?
Yeah, but I don't think we've here remember this from this, it's like it's kind of natural. It's like it's what we do. I mean, we're not trying to be anybody else. It's like, here, let's some real complicated thing like with the Eagles. You know, it's like, you take us too long to do that. We do by what the feel of the song. And sometimes we get it really good, and sometimes we should work on that one. and David Bowie, you talk about him. We did something together in Montserrat, in Montreux. And he was there, and I think Tom and Robin were standing. He says, there's Bowie over there. Tom says, I'm going to go over and say something to him, or I'm going to go whatever. He says, no, you're not. And he said, so he went over. He was talking to Annie Lennox. And all of a sudden, Tom goes over and grabs David Bowie's hand and just started holding it. And then David turned, you know, who are you? it's always a good introduction with Cheap Trick. Oh, yeah. Here's another one.
Okay. Okay.
not David Bowie, but I got invited to American Idol. Steven Tyler asked me to go to the shows. It was J.J. Jackson and who? So here they are. We're waiting for the show to start, and I'm chatting over. It says, Rick, here, this is Jennifer Lopez. They said, here's J-Lo. I says, I've heard of you. And she just shocked that, you know, that somebody said that to her. And she never spoke to you again. I've heard of you. Yeah, well, I'd heard of her.
Bring Cheap Trick to the party, guys. It's always a good time.
Really.
No, what I was going to say is it's so cool to see the way you all operate, because bands, you know, 30, 40, 50 years on, to still have that sort of gang mentality that bands have when they're young. I mean, that disappears into this is a business now. I don't get that sense from you all. It doesn't seem like Cheap Trick is just a business.
No. We would have done something better than this. No, I think we just do it for the fun of it. You know, I really do. I mean, I was never interested in money. I mean, that was never the reason to do anything. Because, you know, it's like, when I had no money, it was like, unhappy. No, I mean, you know, I just do enough to get by so I could buy a guitar and take care of, you know, make sure my kids had some food, and not very good food, but it's like we did it for fun. It's like, then we started making money. It's like, oh, you want to play here? Yeah. You know, and I never ask how much we get. I should have, because we got screwed so many times. But it's like, I've always done it just for the, because I like it. And it's, I've made some dumb things, dumb moves in business and stuff, but I've also done stuff that I liked. It's the only kind of thing that I've invested in. I've invested in stuff that I like. I helped start Reverb, if you know that mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. I helped start that company, and it's like by opening a Rick Nielsen store and selling stuff, you know, stuff that I didn't need. There's a lot more that I don't need, but just to get rid of it, and I helped build his business. So it went from me having shares and I do stuff for him because I have a pretty good name. And it went from like a dollar a share, whatever we have, till it was like this international huge business, to like 15 bucks a share that they sold to Etsy and paid. They had to pay us in cash. And I was like, you know, it was something I liked. It made sense to me. It was eBay, except a less of a percentage. I still collect guitars. It's like, this is perfect for me. It's like, so I'm invested in that, and that did very well. And I own two restaurants. And speaking about stuff, just today at Christmas, I sent a bottle of Rockin' Vodka. I started a company with another guy from Rockford. You know, what do I know? But I don't even drink anymore, so I'm no judge. But I sent it to Rachel Ray, who I knew from, mm-hmm. She did the Food Network show with me at my restaurant in Chicago, which has now been there 20 some years. It was the number one, it was called Piece, P-I-E-C-E. Uh-huh. 20 years, we were the number one out of 37,000 pizza establishments in the United States. And just today, I got a thing, says my guy, my business partner, said, hey, can't believe it. Rachel Ray is on TV and they're mixing a drink with the stuff. The stuff that I had. It's like, I did stuff that I'd like, and I, you know, sent her this thing. It's like, she didn't have to use it. She didn't tell me in advance. I mean, I would have been recording it or something. But it's like, doing stuff that you like, you only have yourself and your bad taste to blame for your good news and your bad news. So it's like guitars. I buy guitars not because I think they're an investment, because I never plan on selling them, but I do it because I like it. And I always try to get a great deal on them, but they almost always go up. And I've got 500 guitars, so I hope they all go up now. But I'm not trying to sell them, you know. I do it because I like it. And I use them. And I can't, you know, I get very nervous when I talk to smart people like you. So I have to play the guitar.
I like hearing it as you go along. You are doing good for the world. I noticed that in the things you're doing, you know, even the pizzas for struggling music venues and the things that you're just talking about. But when it comes down to it, you're making great music too. And that changes the world.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I mean, you know, it's like, I didn't start out with the pizza place. I don't really do anything. I need people that are smarter and better and more driven than in that. But I investing in stuff that I like, I've done well my whole life. Except for a few years there when you weren't supporting us.
We got those records too. We love them all. I love them all.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Love them all. And especially, I got to compliment you again, Rick, this record. I know. I'm just throwing it.
Oh, the record.
In Another World.
Yeah. Oh, that one.
It's another Cheap Trick record. It's a great Cheap Trick record.
You can say all that junkies had right at the beginning, but you can't say that.
Dude, thank you so much for this music and all the music that you've done throughout the years.
Mike must be off. Okay, yeah. No, I'm speechless.
No, thank you so much, and thanks for taking the time to talk about it today. This has been a whole lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
All right, man.
You know, it was enjoyable for me. You know why?
What's that?
It's the last one of the day. I had Germany. I had Australia. I had the UK. I did an hour with the Foo Fighters.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I made fun of them the whole time. They asked me to do it. And I was like, oh, they stole that from us for sure, you know?
Right on.
Thanks,
man.
God.
Well, thank you so much, right, dude. It was great talking to you. Take care. We'll see you soon.
All right. Not soon enough. Okay, see ya.
All right, bye. Now, I also want to include, the last time that I was talking with the band, I was hanging out with Tom Peterson. Over the phone, we were discussing their Christmas record, Christmas, that came out in 2017. No ordinary holiday fare, though, as you would expect with Cheap Trick, covering folks like Slade, The Kinks, Harry Nilsson, along with four originals. It's heavy, it's melodic, and that record is a whole lot of fun. And Tom and I got to talk about the record, as well as his work with Autism and a huge benefit concert that he played with Rock Your Speech. So bonus interview, part two, Kyle Meredith with Cheap Trick.
You know, the first question is, what made you guys decide to do the Christmas album in whole for the first time in your career?
Well, our record label just brought it up. They said, would you guys be interested in doing it? And we said, well, we've never done one, and we hadn't really thought of it. You know, you usually think of it during Christmas when it's too late. So they brought it up to us in the spring or something. We're like, yeah, you know, and we thought, well, you know, we didn't want to do a bunch of standards and stuff. And I don't know, we were really kind of apprehensive about it. And we said, well, our producer Julian put some songs together, and we started looking around at, you know, who's done Christmas songs beyond just, you know, covering standards.
Right.
So it was a very, you know, so we started looking at groups that we liked, you know, Slade and whoever, T-Rex or the Beatles or whatever. And we just picked out a bunch of songs of, you know, people we liked. Well, Slade was one of them. Roy Wood, you know, from The Move, mm-hmm. one of his songs. That kind of, The Kinks, you know, and we did a few, I think three or four of them we wrote ourselves for this record. The only real standard is Silent Night.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a Nilsson song. The Nilsson song is titled "Remember Christmas." If you didn't know that, I don't know that it really has anything to do with Christmas, but it's one of my favorite songs of all time in the first place. It's like, oh yeah, remember Christmas, because he doesn't say that in the song. So yeah, that came out great. We were really pleasantly surprised. We started doing the record, and it's like, man, this thing, it came out really better than we thought it was going to, it's real heavy, and it's, I think, different than most Christmas albums.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was, you know, you said a pleasant surprise, and that's exactly how I feel about it, because you hear, you know, one of your favorite bands, and I put you in that camp. I love Cheap Trick so much, but, you know, one of your favorite bands go do a Christmas album, and there's a furrowed brow moment that I think everybody has, like, okay. And then when I saw the track list.
Yeah, they're not all good, I'll say that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of groups that I really love that have done, you know, covers of songs, and it's like, you know, like, oh, I can't wait to hear, I'm not going to name any names. It's like, that is not good.
If
you're going to do a cover, you have to at least try to do it better than the original, or maybe quite a bit different, or just make it, you know, we just kind of do what we do to them anyway. I think the thing that really was pretty dramatic was the Kinks one. It doesn't sound anything like the Kinks. It's like, it's real fast, and it's got a million chord changes, and it just didn't have, like, yeah, it's got the Kink sensibility, and it's got these funny lyrics, and it's, you know, Ray is singing it, of course, but it just sounded, it didn't sound anything like what the Kinks, how we look at the Kinks, you know? And so we thought, yeah, let's cut this thing down a bit, slow it down a bit, and make it, it turned into sounding like the Who doing the Kinks.
which is awesome.
Which is a great combo to me. You know?
Right, right. Well, now that's what I loved about it. I mean,
to me, it's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, having so many just rock and roll covers, because it is different. I mean, these are the songs that we play here at FBK a lot during Christmas, because we, you know, like everybody. Well, not so like everybody. Some people love the traditional Christmas songs, my wife being one of them. But we sort of try to get...
Yeah, my family too.
But
after a couple of weeks, because you can't take it anymore.
So we play a lot of these songs. That's what I was so happy to hear that you guys doing it. Although you did say, you know, there is one traditional one on here with Silent Night. Was there any specific reason why you landed on that one?
No, not really. It just was an idea that let's do a real dark version of that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, because it's a pretty dark sounding song. It's beautiful, really. We just did it a little different. You know, it's a real moody, dark sound to it. It's like, so that's really no real reason why we did that. It's just like one of the ones where it wasn't, you know, whatever, you know, Jingle Bells or something. Like, oh God, who can take it anymore? You know, I don't know that you could do a good version of that. Maybe.
Now, as far as the originals, you know, I feel like that's the dream, to write a Christmas classic. And then if you want to, you can retire. Like there are plenty of artists who, you know, probably, I mean, that was the thing about the lead singer of Slade. You know, they had all these great songs, although none of them were huge hits over here. other than Quiet Riot taking
the
covers.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
Yeah, but there was a quote, and somebody asked him about Merry Christmas, and he's like, you know what? I don't ever have to write another song in my life because I get paid every year because of that song. And I feel like that's the dream. So when you're trying to write these Christmas songs, like, I don't know, do you try to go for the ultimate classic to sustain on forever, or do you just sort of have fun with it?
Well, both things in a way, but that's really for everything we do. Mm-hmm. We are always looking to do something, it's not just for Christmas. And what is it about? Is it religious? Is it about, like the Kink song, where it's just a complete piss take of Christmas and, beating up Santa Claus and, that's sort of whatever the content is. I don't remember exactly, but it's really, it's hard to say. We never were good at and never tried to figure out what people really wanted to hear. It's just stuff that we like ourselves. Like, oh yeah, we'll come up with something and something. Like, that's really great. Let's go ahead with that. I've got this idea. Like, okay, next. What else you got? Okay, next. Now wait a second. That's really good. So we're always trying to inspire each other to work on on songs to get the best thing possible. However that works out. There's really no formula. Just a lot of times you'll have something and they go, that bridge, that needs a better bridge. I've got this idea and put that in there. Like, okay, that's great. That sort of thing.
Now, as far as these songs though, I mean, are there, I don't know, are there any stories behind these new originals?
Nope.
No. Christmas
They're
songs.
Just
let's
for
go.
Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, they are Christmas songs. Yes, that's true. So that was the one, parameter.
Right.
So it wasn't like Harry Nilsson where he just titles the thing Remember Christmas, but it has nothing to do with Christmas. I'm not sure it has nothing to do with Christmas. Maybe it does, and I can listen to the lyrics again. I never thought it did. I didn't ever realize that was the actual title.
Oh, that's funny. That's a great song.
But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, hell, anything Nilsson did was a great song. Guy wrote great songs in his sleep. So.
Great. Yeah, I worked with him once. I was in a session with him in Los Angeles, so that was pretty nuts. I don't know how the guy could have kept up the pace, but he, I guess he in the end didn't, but wow.
I mean, there was
some hardcore partying going on. And goes, wow, geez, these guys are serious.
But man, just one amazing melody after another and lyrics to be with it.
Oh, the tone of his voice, just that alone, even the sound, he was great. It's really a shame what happened, that he had to just throw it all away like
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah, but there you go.
Well, back on you guys. You had done one Christmas song before, right? I Want You for Christmas, which had been
yes. Was that? I don't remember. Was that a like a takeoff of one of our own songs? We did that. I don't remember. It was we kind of just did a variation of one of our songs. Yeah, Come On Christmas or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember anymore.
When you've got that long of a catalog,
it's not on this record, right?
It's not on this record. That's what I kind of wondered is, was there ever any conversation about like, hey, we already have a Christmas song. We could just re-record that and put it on here. But I guess that was not even part of the.
I don't think we thought it was that great. We didn't put very much thought into it. I think that was one we just kind of, I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But we just did it fast. Like, okay, yeah, now that's a Christmas song. Like, well, okay, I guess so. But no, we thought, and once we did got into this thing and we were hearing, we just, one thing led to another and we put together a few of our own songs and they're on there too.
And voila, there you
hopefully
go.
Hopefully they do better than the other people's songs, but we're not counting on it. Let's put it there. But yeah, you're right. The one good thing is that we only have to, we will do another Christmas album 40 years from now. So this will last us for a while.
There you go. Perfect. Now, were you doing this record the same time that you were doing the last record? Because to be so close in release, I was guessing you were actually, this is the same studio sessions, maybe?
No, it wasn't the same sessions, but it was right after we finished.
All right.
Close to it. We weren't still, we didn't just kind of keep going. We came back. We did it fast. Well, it's certainly faster if, other people have written most of the other songs. If you have to write them all, that's a different story.
Right.
But once we got in there, we it's like, okay, this is done. And like, yeah, let's do this to this, and let's do, we did that song. What's the song that the Please Come Home for Christmas, the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
are just most known for it. So we didn't do their version either. I mean, it's not, they didn't write it either. Somebody else, it's like an old blues thing, but which we didn't really realize. I'd never heard the original, and we thought, yeah, the Eagles one, let's do that. But we did a real kind of our version of a Chicago blues song, and we kind of simplified it too. There was like a lot it seemed like there was more in there than needed to be. We made it simpler and bluesier, and it really came quite close to the original,
the guy
that originally wrote it, which was really just by a fluke. We had no idea. We never heard that. Ours is a bit heavier, but, you know, we're just, you know, it just more sounds more like us, but it's very bluesy, our version. I think it came out great, too. So,
and, you know, being heavier, I mean, you guys actually seem like you have been rocking a bit harder or bigger on these last couple records, and this one included. And I don't know if that's just me. It just seems like that. Have you noticed that yourself? Or is the sound bigger and heavier than maybe it used to be?
I don't think so, because that's how we started out. Now, a lot of, you know, we've gone through a lot of different producers through the years, and a lot of times we'd always be in a battle with the producer. They were trying to kind of straighten us out and make it sound, in their minds, more commercial, whatever that is. I'll make that more radio friendly, or
right.
That's too heavier. That's a bit scarier. Whatever. So we were always battling with people. They were always kind of trying to straighten us out a little bit, make it a little more commercial sounding.
Yeah.
And that's not the way the producer we've been using recently, Julian Raymond, who's really pretty much become almost a fifth member. He's really, you know, he understands us from the beginning. You know, since he's not really in the band, he can see he's more objective about what, you know, our stuff. So he just brings out that in us, like, yeah, you can do, you know, you know, like, he like encourages us to do what we naturally would do, which is to make stuff really heavy.
Yeah, well, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's cool to hear you guys go for it. I'll turn my attention to Rock Your Speech, which I know is a pretty important thing and something that keeps your attention these days. I'd love for you to tell me about that, too, because I'm sure a lot of people aren't familiar with that yet. So what is it, and how are you involved with it, and the why?
Well, the why is our now 10-year-old son is on the autism spectrum, and he didn't speak at all until he was 5 years old. Anyway, we really started Rock Your Speech for him, just really writing songs that were rock and roll, rock songs, but with really simple lyric content, so he could easily follow along. That was the thing with music. He couldn't really hear, see, love music, and he could really only come in, you know, with one word here and there. But he'd always come in the right spot. You know, he'd wait, and then that word comes in, and he'd sing it right then. And we just realized that he was just the simpler the better. So just started kind of went to my little studio and started writing songs that I thought sounded cool, but with really simple content. You know, and we didn't really do it as for children. I mean, he was a child, of course, but I kind of wanted to do it where it was a person of any age could listen to it. It wasn't just little kiddie themes. So it's basically the Rock Your Speech is, we are creating video and audio content for, you know, other parents and teachers and music therapists. It's really for a tool for their kids and, you know, and students on the autism spectrum. We, I guess you could describe it as combining rock music with the basic principles of speech therapy. You know, and we always say it helps kids on the spectrum find their voice through music, because they're people in general are drawn to music. And you see how people react in nursing homes, and people have stroke, and, you know, all sorts of different things. It's not just autism, or, you know, people have, you know, people that use speech therapy, and music really just gets people's attention, and it brings memories back to people, and all this. It's so powerful. It's a healing force. All the music therapists know it. So we're just in the, you know, we're living with it anyway. And I love writing songs and working in the studio, and it's just something that's really close to us. And I really enjoy it. And I think ultimately it will help parents be able to help their kids with speech therapy, something they can enjoy listening to. You know, they have an app on an iPad, and, you know, all the kids are drawn to that sort of stuff anyway. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's important work right there. I seem to remember, maybe it's popular myth or maybe it's real, but it seemed like I remember someone back quite a while ago, maybe I read it somewhere, about speech therapists using the Beatles and folks with autism really connecting with that, which makes sense because especially their earlier stuff was, you know, sort of simplistic and catchy and bouncy, and I can kind of see if that makes sense with what you're saying.
It makes perfect sense, because there's stuff they were a really good example. It's like, you know, help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody. You know, it is kind of like that, except even more simple. We've got a song called "Help Me, I'm Hurting." Help me, I'm hurting. Help me, because we wanted to have phrases that, you know, Liam couldn't. He couldn't tell you if he was sick, if he was cold, if he was hungry. You know, if you can't speak, you're obviously not communicating too well.
Right.
So it's like a big game of charades. It's like, let's put phrases in there that we would like him to use that are common phrases, but in a musical way. And that's what it is. And the Beatles were a good example of that. You know, "I Want to Hold Your Hand" is a good reason. "She Loves You," that mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, mm-hmm. of course, they expand upon it much more, but. You know, they even did that one song. I think it's on Yellow Submarine. 1, 2, 3,
right,
four. Can I have a little more? Yeah, that's like a bit of a kid's song. It's a scary nursery rhyme sort of, but it is that. It's like that Beatles thing, but really more simplified. And then try to add in, and it's something too. We wanted to do it where music therapists could come in with an acoustic guitar and just play that song. You know, so we've got a song book that goes along with all the records we've got out now, and it's got, you know, lyrics and song and the charts, and it's stuff that you should be able to. All the music therapists say to us, like, yeah, we know this is, you know, it's so powerful, except there's no decent music. It's all, you know, the wheels on the bus go round
sure,
and round,
right,
and
right.
Jimmy crack corn and whatever. It's like, okay, you know, always, you know, you got to. It's one thing if you're a little kid, but, you know, what do teenagers and adults do? You know, they're going to sit around. It just seemed that there was something missing, and there is. There's really nothing like this. So,
and I know you're going to be a part of a big concert. I think that's yet to be announced, though. So, you know, we won't get into.
Oh, it's been announced.
It has now. Okay.
It's December 2nd at the Orpheum Theater in downtown Los Angeles. So Saturday the 2nd. It's a it's a benefit for the Autism Society of America with Rock Your Speech, which is our organization, but mm-hmm. Cheap Trick is headlining, and we've got the Dandy Warhols doing a set, a band called the Empty Hearts, which is Clem from Blondie and mm-hmm. Elliot from the Cars, and Wally from the Romantics, my friend Andy Babiuk from Chesterfield Kings. It's kind of a bit of a super group, and Johnette Napolitano from Concrete Blonde is doing it. She's going to be in our house band.
That's so
and
cool.
Red Cross is playing.
Yeah, what a lineup.
Terry Nunn and Ed Asner is speaking. Ed Asner, actually, his son is one of the main people at the Autism Society. And Ed is just deep into the autism. You know, he's got like 5 grandchildren on the spectrum. So, I mean, I know that Matt, his son, has like 3 kids on the spectrum.
Yeah.
So they are, you know, really, you know, very involved in that whole scene. And he's an interesting guy, Ed Asner. He's really funny. We've met him now a couple of times. And Billy Bob Thornton is going to be there. And we've asked, you know, just a bunch of our different friends that are in or around Los Angeles or wherever to come in. And we'll just, you know, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a hell of a night anyway. I know a lot of those folks and love a lot of those artists, too. So, you know, good on you guys for putting together that and you know, break a leg with the show. And
thank you.
And thanks for the Christmas album, too. You know, I at least want to throw that out there. The whole record's so fun, so we're looking forward to spending
all of it.
Even
if I do say so myself.
Right. All right, buddy. Tom, it was really great. Thank you so much for the talk and the music and everything. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you back around Louisville sooner than later.
All right. Good deal. Thanks.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye.
And my thanks, Cheap Trick. Again, the brand new record is called In Another World. Thanks to you for checking out this series, this episode. Please do hit the subscribe button if you're not already. Again, with 3 new interviews a week, it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your favorite podcast from, just subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, and theme time radio, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of them at Kyle Meredith. I'm even on TikTok, Kyle Meredith 81 over there. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I went to George Martin's house. It's like, I go to use the bathroom. There's Cheap Trick gold thing on his wall. It's like, he must have dug that out of the basement in a hurry. You know?
You don't think he always has that there?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm right next to Sergeant Pepper and Cheap Trick and the toilet. You know? I felt honored.
You know, the greatest.
You know, it was up too high to splash on it, too.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.